America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
To everybody's credit, once the game started, it did feel like some of the talk over the last couple of days did die down, as it should. Focus should be on the field. It was a playoff game. It was a classic. It will be remembered as such. But there were a lot of storylines that we can't just drop. Well, now that game three's done, you know, it's not like the last 48 hours didn't happen, Woods. They did. And there really are some things that, you know, Mike Schilt went and did his news conference yesterday and went to bat for Manny Machado.
This was brilliant.
As I fully expected him to do,
sure.
but was pretty strong in his comments and all throughout it. While he never really singled anyone out specifically by name, I mean, he even avoided, I don't think he ever said the name Dave Roberts, did not specifically mention anyone on the Dodgers other than saying how much they respected the Dodgers. But clearly there was intent, as Dave liked to say in his news conference. I think there was intent from Mike Schilt when he responded to the accusations of Dave Roberts about Manny Machado potentially throwing a ball at him. We saw more angles of that really do make it look like an invisible sandwich, because I know you don't like it when I call something a nothing burger.
Right,
so there you
fun.
Go. But here was Mike Schilt yesterday on Manny Machado and the ball gate controversy.
Come from maybe a just different philosophy of dealing with this. I couldn't help but have people share them with me, so I'm aware of them. You know, listen, I got into this game to help players get the most out of their God-given ability and to compete on the field and respect the opponent. I will not disparage another player on another team, especially anybody I've managed in the past.
Whoa.
Nor will I do it to a collective team. So just not how I want to operate. I got a lot of respect for their club, the players on their club. You know, as far as Manny goes, you know, it's unfortunate that people can't, you know, move on from things from the past. I thought Manny's exhibition of professionalism and leadership were on display the other night in a very tough environment. He nor I or anyone will profess to be perfect, but Manny has made some strides that are very impressive both on and off the field. It's been a privilege to witness that. It's representative of him being our rightful Roberto Clemente nominee award winner, and I expect him to win it. I get the privilege of seeing him along with our players behind the scenes, do some really special things for young people, our community, but people have their right clearly to share what they want and how they want to share it. As far as the comments about the team, again, privilege keeps coming up in my head. It's a beyond a privilege. I've been doing this for 30 plus years. We all have our transgressions that we have. None of us are perfect, but I can speak to the heart of caring about people and players. And
I love this.
Been with teams for a long time that represent themselves with class and dignity, and I don't have to defend this team. This team does not need my defense, nor do our players need to defend themselves.
Love that.
Brilliant, man.
Love that.
It's exacerbated by, a hit piece dropped on the day of a playoff game. It's inexcusable on Ken Rosenthal's part. It was inexcusable on Dave Roberts' part.
And that was the subtle shot. Did you catch it from Mike Shull when he said, I would never disparage a player on another team, especially someone I had managed before. Yeah. Dave managed Manny at the end of that 2018 season when he was traded to the Dodgers. Dave was his manager. That was a dig right there going, I would never do that. But that's what Dave Roberts did, and that's why he said that. It also brings up, again, the context of Ken Rosenthal's piece about Manny Machado. And Ken Rosenthal, I want to be clear. Again, I don't know him. And as a journalist, he did not do anything unethical or unprofessional.
Really? You don't think it was unprofessional?
No. He's allowed to have his opinions. He's allowed to hate Manny Machado and love Bryce Harper and write whatever he wants. That's part of his job. However, it certainly shows a lack of thoroughness when you don't take into consideration all the things that Manny was rightfully hailed for by Manny Machado. Now, you can write a one-sided piece. There's nothing criminal about that. You can do that as an opinionated sports broadcaster, sports columnist, insider. You are allowed to do that. And it's the court of public opinion that now can cast its judgment upon Ken Rosenthal and decide, do we really want to give what this guy says as much influence and credence going forward and you're going to point it out here exactly what biases may be inherent in Ken's opinions and writing.
So here is one, a piece he wrote about Bryce Harper. It says, he's 30 now, quite removed from his younger self. An occasionally hot-tempered player who exasperated some fans with flashes of cockiness and immaturity. Back then, Ron, Bryce's dad, would tell reporters Bryce was misunderstood, a good kid who stood for the right things. Bryce was young, only 19, when he made his major league debut, 22 when he won his first of two MVP awards. His offenses, all things considered, were relatively minor. He never got into serious trouble. Today, Harper is married and a father of two. He's treating his postseason almost as a second coming out party. Phillies manager Rob Thompson's pointed out that Harper and his teammates began playing more freely after they finally ended the franchise's 11-year playoff drought, escaping the burden of that pressure. Ron Harper and his wife Sherry notice it too. Their son is buoyant, bursting with energy and emotion. Here's Manny's piece. This is a player who in 2014 triggered a benches-clearing incident when he objected to a hard tag by Josh Donaldson. This is a player who in 2016 charged the mound and threw punches at Royals' Yordano Ventura. This is a player who in 2017 caused the injury that brought on the end of Dustin Pedroia's career with a hard slide that some perceived as dirty. Let's not forget Machado's heel turn with the Dodgers in the 2018 National League Championship Series, where he twice slid questionably into Brewer shortstop Orlando Arcia in Game 3 and clipped first baseman Jesus Aguilar running out of grounder in Game 4. He also generated controversy during that series for explaining his failure to run out of grounder by telling me in an interview, obviously I'm not going to change. I'm not the type of player that's going to be Johnny Hustle and run down the line, slide into first base. That's not my personality. That's not my cup of tea. That's not who I am. There is a stark, stark difference in the reporting. It's stark. Bryce Harper, I love. And that's the thing is, like, I don't want this to pit me or anybody against Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper hasn't done anything wrong. Between the lines, he is a fierce competitor that plays hard, that has had questionable plays as well, that loafs down the line. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. Not nary a word about it. So again, It's the way that you paint the picture, Ken. That's all I'm calling into question here, the way you paint the picture. And again, you couldn't have asked for a better representation from your manager. If my manager ever spoke that way about me, I would be ready to light somebody on fire for him. You know what I mean? Or light myself on fire for him and run through a wall. Mike Schilt handled that yesterday, A++++. Manny Machado handled that yesterday, A++++. Yeah, I thought it was, and when you pointed out, there was another tweet that he had sent years ago. We all remember Chase Utley's slide into Tejada at second base that broke his leg. We all remember it. We all saw it. We all knew it was dirty. Chase Utley was a Dodger at the time, and he tweeted at the time, Dodgers Utley sent an apology to Tejada last night through a player on the Mets that he knows well. Intent was not to injure. Intent or not, it was still a dirty slide. Kenny going out there and defending, you know, really dirty ass plays is, it's weird. It's weird when you're talking about some relatively minor things. Bryce Harper's charged the mound. He threw a helmet at Hunter Strickland. Why? Because he got dotted. Why did Manny Machado go out against the Royals guy? Because he got dotted with a 99 mile an hour fastball. This is not new in the game of baseball. How many times have guys charged the mound after getting drilled by a pitch? You know, and talking about Profar as an irritant and pulling a fire alarm and calling Tatis Jr. just randomly a dancing peacock, there's no place for it. There's no place for it anymore.
Again,
be better.
You know, Ken Rosenthal can write what he wants. I would hope that if he saw that side by side, that he would do some self-reflection, though, and maybe reevaluate perhaps his internal, maybe even subconscious biases that he has against Manny Machado. So it was quite noticeable if you were watching the broadcast last night that Ken Rosenthal, who usually handles all dugout interviews during the game for both teams and post-game interviews for the winning star player, did not talk to any Padres players during the game. He was stationed over in the Dodgers dugout. And then when the Padres won the game, instead of him conducting that first post-game interview, they put headsets on Fernando Tatis Jr.
With Tatis, yeah.
And had John Smoltz and Joe Davis conduct the interview from up in the booth. That is not typical Fox procedure. So clearly something was up. Now, we've been told and we've heard there was no ban instituted against Ken Rosenthal by the Padres front office or organization. They did not say you are not allowed to do your job. And quite frankly, that's the correct attitude by the Padres. You can't just ban a media member you don't like because you disagreed with what they wrote. That is not your job as an organization. However, Kevin Acey did write this morning that there was a player boycott of Ken Rosenthal, and that for one game, the players agreed, we will not be talking to him. Now, he was in the clubhouse after the game doing his work. He was not prevented from doing his job, but the players made it clear, I guess, at some point, don't come asking us for an interview. We're all going to say no. And That's also the players' right. You know, the league can, you know, they can institute some discipline if you refuse to do the obligated interviews, and I don't know that they will in this case. It would be pretty, I think, tone deaf of Major League Baseball to fine Padres players for refusing to do their in-dugout interviews with Ken Rosenthal in this game. Technically, I think they probably could, but that's basically the update that we got. There was no ban on Ken Rosenthal by the Padres, but players kind of agreed on a boycott and said, we are not for one game. We're just not going to be talking to Ken.
AC doesn't say in his newsletter today if he talked to any players specifically about it or not, so it might just be his own speculation. But he did say the Padres, suffice to say, were not pleased with Rosenthal's brand of journalism. The team did not conduct the usual in-game interviews with him on Fox last night. It was a one-game boycott, and those interviews are expected to resume tonight.
Yeah, and again, you know, we talked about this yesterday a ton. Dave Roberts did this. Make no mistake. Okay? Don't get it twisted. National media, whatever. None of this happens. That piece isn't written. It feels like it was such an orchestrated thing. That question that was toward the end of the press conference, 1,000% fed to Dave Roberts. 1,000%. Then they send off the video, knowing damn well nothing's going to happen. Manny didn't hit anybody with a ball. Didn't even really come close to hitting anybody. Didn't put anybody in danger whatsoever. It was completely orchestrated. Then Ken has his piece ready to go, turns it around, a gnarly hit piece the next day about this, the night before a playoff game. Bro, you look at this and go, come on. Like, are you guys in cahoots? What are we doing here? And I thought it was, I thought the players had every right to say, no, pass. Absolutely not. Absolutely not talking to this guy today.
John Boy did an extensive breakdown of everything that happened in game two, including pointing out something that I kind of missed. But on that throw by Manny Machado toward the dugout, which was, you know, like a five hopper that was rolling toward the fencing, if it hadn't hit that concrete barrier, that's what kind of launched it back into the air and made it kind of look like it was bouncing up toward Dave Roberts. I doubt anyone would have noticed it at all if it hadn't hit a concrete barrier and bounced up, because otherwise it was a sidearm flick that was, you know, multiple bounces rolling toward a dugout. Was there a little more steam on it than maybe a tiny, you know, toss? Yeah. Was Manny and all the rest of the players out there hot in that game with everything that was going on and amped up? Sure.
Please remember again, Manny walking to the dugout, Jack Flaherty screaming at him from the mound, sit down, mother effer. Who is amping up this whole thing? It's Jack Flaherty, fired up, got no problem with it. None. Shohei Ohtani hitting the home run, slinging his bat, no problem with it. Zero. Not even a little. Okay? Manny walking back to the dugout, getting screamed at. Profar jumping up and down. Like, Dave Roberts then going to the media and sending a video to Major League Baseball. Dave is the one responsible for this. It starts at the top. It always has in that organization. He's been like this since he's been there. The world is not going to lay down and die for you because you're the LA Dodgers. Teams aren't going to roll over for you guys just because you have a big payroll and you're superstar laden. It's not going to happen. As much as you want it to, it's not going to. Okay, so that pissed me off. And he did this. He and he alone did this. And if he doesn't say anything, if he says, guys, I didn't see it. I don't give a rat's ass. We're trying to figure out how we're going to beat Michael King tomorrow. I got to get my guys ready to play. That's it. None of this happens. None of it. You kick the hornet's nest, and then you cry that you got stung. It doesn't make any sense.
And by the way, maybe the loudest boos in Petco Park ever. History when Dave Roberts was introduced in the early pregame managerial introduction. I mean, that place, I was in the roof of the Marriott, and I looked over and go, and I go, oh, they just introduced Dave Roberts. You could hear it through downtown, the boos for Dave Roberts in that situation when they were lined up. Player I think I've ever heard. That was not like right before first pitch. That was like 20, 30 minutes before first pitch.
Yeah.
You guys were loud. And I think when we come back, I want to change things to a little doo-doo this, because I thought one of the stars of the show last night and one of the reasons the Padres won the game was you.
Me?
No. Oh. You, Padres fans, who completely...
Well, I was one of them.
Yeah, you were there. And you just completely flipping the script from game two in Dodger Stadium with class, with energy, and with a night I think most people who were there will never, ever forget. We got a couple moments to share with you. We'll get to that in our do this segment when we come back with Ben Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Right, to be honest, we handled plenty of Don't Do This on Ken Rosenthal and Dave Roberts in that story, so I want to focus on the positive. Give me a do-do this, Pauly, right at the beginning.
Mega do-do.
I once again want to reiterate how special last night was with the fans. Another record crowd at Petco Park, 47,744. They are really... pushing the limits to see how many people they can get in there, but I thought
let's make it 50.
I thought the behavior with even that many people in there was absolutely top tier, very classy. Everybody in the stadium seemed to be enthusiastic, but I did not see incidents. I don't know if you saw anything
sitting in the
stands, but I did not see anything that caused me really any consternation. That the Padres fans were great, the Dodgers fans who were there, and just based on my personal observations, I thought there were more Padres fans at Dodgers Stadium than there were Dodgers fans. There were Dodgers fans there,
sure.
But
yeah,
I thought there was a few more Padres fans in L.A. than there were Dodgers fans in San Diego, but didn't see anyone not behaving themselves during the game.
No, it was very, you know, the game ground to a halt there for a few innings. I mean, obviously it was really exciting early, and then the energy, you get nervous, man, when you're winning by one run, you're up against that offense, right? So you kept looking for any spark to get the crowd back into it. It never really happened until, you know, some big strikeouts from the Padres' bullpen. But I will say, man, the groups of Dodger fans I saw, I didn't see them getting booed or anything like that. Nobody was ranking them out as they were walking through the concourse. Everybody was pretty chill. Padre fans were really good and loud and boisterous and waving the towels. I must have almost lost my eye like 14 times, because if you're standing next to somebody waving a rally towel, my wife kept whipping me in the face. The lady behind me kept whipping me in the back of the head. The guy to my right was whipping me in the other side. And then the lady in front of me was whipping it over her head. I was surrounded by rally towels whipping me in the face. Of course, I used it like Dominic did in the chat as the Jerry Tarkanian towel.
Oh, the chew towel.
I ate the thing last. I was just you know, I have my oral fixation anyway. Next time I need to bring a pacifier. If I go to another game like that, I need to bring a pacifier. It was excruciatingly nuts, but I loved this story. It came out in the UT this morning. And last night, Mookie Betts' home run in the first inning. What a moment. You thought Profar had it. So Mookie Betts hits it over the left field wall. It lands in San Diego's Dan Vincent's lap. And he's like, oh, no, I don't want this ball. This is the last thing I want. He said it didn't really occur to me to throw it back. He said, I
hope it occurred to him not to throw it back. It did. Actually,
He said, I know that's not the right move. He said, I'd rather give it to a Dodger fan versus throwing it back. So he goes and finds an usher. He said, sir, could you help me find a Mookie Betts fan, a kid wearing a jersey or something? Let's track somebody down who'd love to have this Mookie Betts home run ball. So they found 11-year-old Freddie Wright of Palm Springs, and they brought him over, and the kid said, I'm a big Dodger fan. And the guy's, no problem, man, gives him the ball. Very, very cool move. And they got a sweet picture of the Padres fan giving it to this little 11-year-old Mookie Betts fan. It was a really nice moment.
You know, it reminds me, so we had a story last night on Channel 10. It was from our colleagues up at KABC in Los Angeles. They tracked down the guy who Jurickson stole the ball away from him, and then came and brought the ball back. And he playfully threw it back onto the field. And he seemed actually like a pretty decent guy when he was talking. He said, I was not intending to start something and get other people throwing. I truly was trying to be in Jurickson's, like, the spirit of playfulness. You know, Jurickson's playing with us. I smiled at him. He brought me the ball. He goes, I don't want this. And, you know, I'm gonna chuck it. And he was really just trying to be playful. Yeah. And he felt truly bad that then other people saw that and started throwing things.
Well, I was watching the John Boy breakdown. I mean, they were zoomed in on that catch on Sunday night. And the fan is laughing.
He's great.
He's smiling.
He was great. We said it.
When Profar's bouncing up and down, he's not pissing off the crowd. It was a moment between him and that fan.
Yes, it was.
And they were both into it. And I think that just got completely glossed over with everything over the last 48 hours.
He was not pulling the fire alarm and saying, who me?
No,
he was not.
What's so sad is that it really could have been the best of baseball right there.
No question.
On a small scale, it was. Jurickson is, in many ways, the best of baseball.
Dude,
and that
100%.
Fan, as much as you don't like Dodgers fans, that fan's a good
fan.
Dodger fan and a good fan.
He's a good sport about it.
The kind that they need more of. And it's so sad that that's the incident that then sparked what turned into such ugliness and such this entire narrative for this series about, you know, bad behavior.
And
it wasn't sparked by bad behavior at all.
No.
It was sparked by great sportsmanship, great fun and enthusiasm, and some of the best parts of the game. And that truly is what was sad about that.
So I think it's always the right move, whether it's the home team or the away team, to give the ball to the kid.
Yeah, always give it
always
to
the right move. It's always the wrong move to throw something, including baseballs, onto the field aimed at players.
Right.
But are we as a society like moving on from throwing opposing home runs onto the field again? Because my whole life, that was the rule.
Throw it back.
The other team hits a home run. If you catch it, you throw it back.
Wrigley Field tradition,
which
obviously.
If you want to do that, fine. Obviously, try not to hit a player. But then, you know, you can't do the monkey see, monkey do. But, oh, we're throwing stuff at guys.
Right.
Let me launch my Modelo at somebody. That can't happen. You know, like, that's where it crosses the line. Even the throwing the home run ball back is not crossing the line.
I loved that bit.
I did, too.
Forever.
But, yeah, it's pretty cool to give a kid a ball.
You have
always.
To. That's always the first.
If you don't want it. Like, Crony threw me a ball in San Francisco. I did not give it to a kid. I gave it to my wife and my kids. And I said, I guess I did give it to a kid. I gave it to my kid. But I wasn't about to be like, let me find a little Giants fan to give it to. No, I was stoked to get it, right? I gave it to Bo, and he loved it. But, it was really, obviously, a great game. But the vibe was stupid good. Stupid good. After the game, walking through the concourse, randos, just high fives everywhere. Just everyone was feeling it last night. It was really, really cool.
And that was just do this for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I'm curious. Adam Jones is going to join us when we come back. The five-time All-Star watching this series very closely. He'll have thoughts, I'm sure, on everything. Close with Manny. His opinions on how this has all played out the last couple of days. That is coming
Slidegate.
Up next.
Yeah, Slidegate now.
On San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Saw a lot of ex-ball players tweeting like during, or current ball players tweeting during the game. Brent Rooker about how crazy the playoffs were. Even former Padre Matt Carpenter tweeted, this Dodgers-Padres series is like a UFC title bout pay-per-view. Two teams that don't like each other exchanging blow after blow. It's been a very compelling postseason so far.
It really has, man.
And we're not even to the championship series yet. We're still in the divisional round of the playoffs. I know Adam Jones has been paying close attention. He's close with Manny Machado, who's been at the center of all of this. He is standing by. We will talk to AJ on a Big League Wednesday right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. I like the California seems to be the center of the baseball universe right now. That's hard to do when both New York teams are still alive.
Dude, nobody's talking about them at
Yet
all. It's
everyone
crazy.
Seems to be talking about Padres Dodgers. And joining us right now to talk about it as well is the five-time All-Star. And what a postseason, what a series it has been so far, AJ, and we're not done yet. Good morning to you.
I think all the fans love what's going on right now. You got the East going against each other. You have the West going against each other in the National League. I mean, I think the only people that aren't really getting much attention is the American League with the two series going on there. But main focus has been on the National League series for justifiable reasons.
It's been insane, and I've loved watching the Tigers play, and you know, not a team you get to watch a lot of and not full of superstars. I've loved watching the Guardians play as well. There's been some great games. It's the Major League Baseball playoffs. There's nothing that really comes close to it. AJ, I wanted to ask you this, man. In all your years of playing ball, did anyone ever write a hit piece on Adam Jones?
Like a hit piece to harm me?
Yeah, like a hit piece, like, you know, that like Ken Rosenthal wrote about Manny yesterday on the morning of a playoff game, just kind of bringing up everything you've ever done wrong, you know, things like that. Did the Baltimore papers or the Arizona
from
papers?
10 years ago.
Yeah, oh, and in high school, Adam Jones did this or that. Like, did you ever have one of those?
Ken is sounding like that old disgruntled girlfriend right about now.
Big time.
All that Manny Machado stuff.
Big time.
Big time. And, you know, hey, look, do we all have faults? Do we all have mistakes? Yeah, if you bring up every single thing we've all done as a human being, then, hell, we're all terrible human beings if you want to classify us on that. Hey, everybody has mistakes. What Manny is doing right now, I think, should be talked about in a different light. He was younger, cool, but the leadership skills that he's shown, especially over the last 2 or 3 years, that needs to be talked about more also. This is his franchise. You know, you got other guys on big deals. This is Manny Machado's team. And, you know, it's popular, again, it's popular to write about the guy because most people want to hear the negative about him. People don't, if it's something positive about Manny, oh, Manny's doing the team leader, he's being this. People don't want to hear that. People want to hear the bad boy. People want to hear all negative when it comes to Machado. And to be honest, I think that it came a point to where he just really doesn't care anymore.
Yeah.
To where, cool, you write whatever you want. It's not going to stop you. I'm here to play baseball. I got 9 more years on my deal. Suck it. And wear it. And that's where he's at right now. And it's lovely to see. I think he's reached that point to where he really doesn't care what you think anymore. Like, he really, really doesn't care. And he's there to play baseball. And, you know, that's the maturation process. And it, becoming an adult, and more of an adult, he's a father now. Like, there's a lot different, more things on his mind than all the time reading about what's written about him. The dude's awesome. His family's awesome. He plays the game the right way. He's one of the best third basemen ever, and we're getting to watch something special. So I don't want to harp on the bad stuff with him. I'm just appreciating the talent that we're getting to see.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I mean, a perfect example was that base running play last night. I know you were watching that game. I know you appreciated the hell out of that.
Mm-hmm.
The art that goes into that, the ability to think at a split second, I got to read where that ball was caught. I got to read where Rojas's glove is. I got to read all that. I got to make a decision, a completely legal and brilliant decision to wear this one and keep this inning alive. And I know you appreciated that.
I mean, playoff baseball is all about 90 feet. Just like Freddie Freeman said in game one, he got a bad ankle, but he stole a base.
Yeah.
Hey, 90 feet in the playoffs is huge.
Massive.
And that's coming from a franchisable player himself where he don't have to do that. But he's there to win the game. And Manny's there to win. You see those kind of things. again, you're taught that. Ball is it ball hit behind you to the first baseman on the ground. You know, get yourself into that grab. Get yourself into that
that lane.
That line of vision for him. And it was a great throw by Freddie, but it was a great decision by Machado to get into the baseline. And then just nicked off the helmet and went into the outfield, allowing runners to advance. And that's winning baseball. Look, it doesn't have to look pretty at this point in the year. Jeter said it on the Fox broadcast. People like Mookie is going back to trying to do his mechanics and stuff like that. And Cronenworth is doing the same thing. At 200 games played at this point in time, that stuff it ain't going to work. Yeah, you're trying to find your mechanics, that ain't going to work. You're going to have to just boil down, figure it out. And, you know, like you see Mookie, the talent is always going to show itself. So sometimes you just got to take a step back and let it come to you. Cronenworth had some really good at-bats last night. You get him going, he's hitting 6-7 right now. And you're talking about a lineup that is damn near unstoppable, especially with the athleticism they have. So it's just fun to watch these guys continuously grow and continuously make adjustments that most people only fathom about.
Talking to Adam Jones here on a Big League Wednesday, and I want to get your players' perspective. The Padres have made the conscious decision that they've been attacking Shohei Ohtani and trying to get him out. And some fans are going, why would you pitch to that guy? It burned him in the first game. They got him. They contained him the last two games. The Dodgers have mostly pitched to Fernando Tatis Jr. as not maybe with as successful as results, but they continue to go after him. As a player, do you ever not want to see, you know, intentional walks on guys who are hot? Would you rather have your team pitch to a guy even though he's insanely hot? Does that matter to you?
I mean, situation calls for situations. I mean, nobody on, nobody out. I mean, pitch to the man. Like, what are you doing? Compete. Like, you can get him out. If he didn't hit 1,000 this year, you know, he hit 310, didn't hit 1,000, didn't hit 500. You know, chances are he probably might jump you, hit something hard. But if you walk him, that is proven to be a double, maybe a triple. He's one of the best base runners in all of baseball.
Yep.
Don't give him a free 90 feet if you can. If Mookie is struggling, try and face him while he's struggling. You don't want him to get hot. He's one of the best players too. But it's playoff baseball. The guy's on base. I mean, the guy's hitting and hits a 3-run home run. You're out of here. I mean, you're talking about a difference maker. Is Mookie a difference maker? Of course he is, an MVP. But when Ohtani is going hot, I mean, there's very, very few people that are like him. And the fact that he is arguably the fastest guy in the game when he gets on base. So it's a double-edged sword when it comes to Ohtani, but I like what they're doing, going after him. What else are you going to do? I mean, you nitpick around him, he will steal second and steal third. You put people on base for Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, Teoscar Hernandez. That's a recipe for losing. Go after the man. I mean, at the end of the day, he's a tough out, yes, but you can get him out. And you see last night King was going after him the second time around. They got him a little bit, but he settled down. And so tell you again, as I always say, it's a tough game. Make those dudes hit. Don't give him a free 90 feet in the playoffs where he can just turn that into an easy run.
Yeah, man, and after you were talking to Adam Jones here on Ben and Woods this morning, after watching Michael King carve up the Braves, I mean, it was like he barely broke a sweat. Everything was moving. Obviously, the Dodgers are going to be able to grind out ABs, broken bat singles. They singled him to death. One big swing, they're right back in it, man. I was at Petco last night, AJ, and it sucked the life out of it. You know, you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know? And every time they come up, like Ben said earlier, every time they come up, that's the tying run. And to be able to hold those guys, I think, to one hit after that was staggering work by the bullpen. Both bullpens. I mean, both bullpens were brilliant last night. I'm going to tell you, being in the house watching the game like that, I'd rather see a 19-17 slugfest. I was sick to my stomach. I couldn't even watch when the Padres were pitching.
I mean, it's tough. It's tough, you know, when you mow down a guy and mow down a team one time through the lineup, and then the next time they get you. I mean, Cy Young worked against the Braves.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, obviously, you're talking about the Dodgers. Somebody who's also seen him four times this year. Yeah. Guys who've had individual success off of him. So it's somebody that they know. And the same thing with Walker Buehler. You know, over the years, Walker has owned the Dodgers. He's owned everybody. He's had a great career. The last 2 years, he's been dealing with injuries, so he's not been as good. But, you know, you take advantage of it. And when you know each other, that's why the Padres got on Walker so early, because they know him. They know everything he got, everything he's going to present. and they torched him.
So what does Adam Jones think about Mike Schilt's decision to go with Dylan Cease tonight in Game 4 on 3 days rest? He's never done it in his career before. Went 3 1/3 in Game 1 on Saturday, threw, I think, 82 pitches. But instead of Martin Perez, you know, rested, but your number 4 guy, you're going with your ace. He didn't exactly light it up in that first game, but they think that's their best chance. What's your thought on that choice by Mike Schilt?
Well, first off, I love the decision. He threw 82 pitches. He should be right. He should be fine. But this is I don't know if this is the first time he's ever thrown a home game in his playoff career. I think so. In the COVID year, I think the White Sox made the playoffs. I'm not sure exactly. But this is arguably the biggest game in Dylan Cease's professional career.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets a pitch in a clinching game at home with the Padres faithful going insane. The adrenaline will have him throwing 98-99, and I think it's a perfect call. You can run Darvish out there for Game 5. These are veteran guys who've been there. Martin Perez can be on backup duty. But I think right now with the series in your grasp, go get it. Don't play around with it. Go get it. And by them moving him up a day, which, again, he went 3 1/3. He didn't go 8. So I think he's well-rested, and I think he wants the ball, and I think his adrenaline is going to be flowing. Hopefully he goes out there, attacks that strike zone, and gives us a great effort.
Last thing for me, and I don't know if you ever had a chance to meet him. I didn't know that much about him, but Louis Tiant passed away yesterday at the age of 83. And I don't know if you knew anyone or had ever had a chance to meet him, but just thoughts on a Red Sox and a playoff legend, a guy who got to start 3 games of a World Series winning team once.
And flair, you know, swag. Back in the day where swag was probably looked down upon, you know, as much as it is even these days.
Back then,
holy smokes, man, the guy did it his way.
I mean, I think he was one of the first Latin guys to really do it his way. They didn't compromise himself to, you know, fit in. And I've gotten to know Louis over the last 10 years. He does a lot of work with David Ortiz and his foundations. And I've got to spend a lot of time with him down in Dominican Republic, drinking a lot of Presidentes and having those great cigars, talking about baseball. Oh, yeah. It goes there.
AJ, we'll let you go. Awesome stuff. Hopefully next week we are smack dab in the middle of a National League Championship Series, and we will talk to you again then. Adam Jones, our 5-time All-Star on our Big League Wednesday, always joining us. I think it was Eduardo Perez was telling stories about Louis Tiant. And he said, Louis Tiant, didn't matter. If he came over to your house, he was lighting up a cigar in your house. there was no getting around it. It's just, he just was going to do it, and he got, you're just going to wear it. Your house is going to smell like cigar smoke for the next week if Louis Tiant came over to visit. Because the guy was not going to be... You can't ask him, hey, can you go do that in the backyard? Or we'll just, hey, I got a nice patio. We can go and enjoy a cigar. He's going to sit in your living room couch, and he is going to smoke his cigar while he's sitting there in your home.
Just imagine. You invite me over, and I walk in. I sit down on your couch. I pull out a pack of Marlboros. I'm like, anyway, so what do you want to do tomorrow on the show? You're like, bro, we don't smoke in here. You're like, no. I mean, I do.
This is the year 2024.
Just uncompromisingly yourself is so good. What a great story. Yeah, didn't matter. You don't smoke in here. I do. I'm going to.
He was going, Louis Tiant was such a breath of fresh air. Well, maybe that's the wrong choice of words because it was a constant cloud of cigar smoke.
I mean, obviously, you know, before our time, but... Yeah, seeing video of him doing all of his little histrionics on the mound, and you're like, and he threw gas. I mean, gas back then. I've seen plenty of highlight reels of Louis Tiant, man. What a loss. And we should do it like we do it on the Ben and Woods program.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Give him a little shout out to his family.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult.
That's right.
So, shout out to his family.
Sure, 1960s Ken Rosenthal with a little press thing in his hat called him a preening peacock
on
the mound, probably.
I'm sure.
Back in the day. But Louis Tiant, one of a kind, passed away yesterday at the age of 83. And I just had a feeling that he had crossed paths with Adam Jones at some point. AJ does...
He makes the scene.
He really appreciates, one of the things I love about AJ is that he appreciates the history of the game, and he takes advantage of all of his opportunities to interact with the legends, and he's gotten many of those chances to do so, and then he shares it all with our audience, which is so great and so much fun. All right, we are 2 hours in, still have 2 hours to go today, and we will actually have 5 hours tomorrow because the Padres won, which means Woods. We got another roundtable tomorrow at 10 o'clock as well. Adam was so quick on that email yesterday. Padres won. That means we are definitely having a roundtable on Thursday. It'll either be the, could be the off day between games 4 and 5, or could be a wrapping up of the division series and looking ahead to the NLCS. But one way or another, we're on tomorrow for the extra hour. Look at that. He's so excited. He's speechless, folks.
So burned out.
we just got going. October is going to kill us.
It really will.
I was at the end of the night last night, I was walking out of the building and, get your 2 hours of sleep and come on back. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Do it all over again.
Yep, we're going to do it again today. I can't believe there's another game today.
Can't
it's
either.
Hard to believe.
I cannot even wrap my head around it just yet.
We will come back. Haven't talked about some of the other games as well. All next on 97.3 The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.